Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, I spent part of my Memorial Day weekend setting up Kimberly Johnson's Vagenda podcast studio. That's the real name of it. And I was able to find everything I needed for the job at Amazon.com. Cables, adapters, sound cards, headphones, microphones, literally everything you need to start your own podcast. And it's all available with next day free shipping from Amazon Prime. Yep, Amazon has everything, and so can you when you go shopping through our Amazon link at BobSeska.com. Just click the all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo, and you're all set. Using our link will take you to the front page of Amazon where you shop as normal, but because you used our link, we receive a small commission on some of your purchases. Thanks for shopping through our Amazon link, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
We're up to our long-distance dedication, and this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
Bob Seska.
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, man. That was the reason I played that is my Memorial Day was I was basically Casey Kasem right there on Memorial Day all day yesterday. We'll get to that in a second. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, May 28, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob. What's happening?
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 859 of the Trump crisis, day 20 of the constitutional crisis, 525 days until the 2020 presidential election. And let's bring him in, my friend Buzz Burbank. Hey, Buzz.
Oh, sorry, Bob. I almost couldn't find the flap to get into the cabana. By the way, here are your drinks, sir. I'll be back in a moment with a fresh set of towels. This is a vacation, right? This is your idea of a vacation?
I guess.
Kind of. And I'm sorry about Snuggles, by the way.
I know. It's so sad.
You know, it's been a week of deep reflection for me as well, Bob. I think I've decided that between the confirmed UFO sightings and the time bomb of nuclear waste we've left in the Pacific, maybe Trump's not such a bad guy after all.
No, I know. You're coming around. I don't know what's going on with you.
You and I are like the track announcers for the Horsemen of the Apocalypse Derby.
I think so.
If I sound, and if, forgive me, and if I sound drunk or high today, it's because Republican operatives have reduced my playback speed by 25%.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Bastards.
Yeah. So that's what I have for you.
So it was me, Buzz, sitting in front of a computer or a couple of computers.
Yes.
Over
yes.
In Kimberly's Slaving. Office. Yeah. Just screaming about a goddamn dog dying. Like, what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see? It's the last goddamn time I decide to set up a podcast on Get Memorial Don on Day. I don't know who Don is. Okay, so I hope you had a nice holiday weekend.
I did.
I kind of did. I mean, I had a nice Saturday and Sunday because I spent time with my brother, my sister-in-law, and my niece, and my mom, and just had a great time down. We were pontooning. We like to say, where we go, we enjoy the pontooning. I don't know where you spend your summers, but I spend my summers pontooning.
So that's like, what they call it these days. Eh?
Yeah, yeah, pontooning. Pontoon boats. Lots of pontoon boats where we went. It was like an ocean of pontoon boats. Unbelievable. But, you know, it all started Thursday when I was trying to finish up the show, and we were about 2 minutes away from wrapping up the show, when all of a sudden, the most torrential thunderstorm I have seen in a long time. Yeah. Tornado warnings and twisters all around. And suddenly it was the apocalypse, and we lost power for 6 hours. So I was like, oh, great way to start the holiday weekend. And then I kind of capped it off with the same level of mayhem, trying to do all this crap, trying to set up this this podcast studio and trying to wrestle with technology I will never, ever understand. And then we capped off the day. Get this. This is how exciting my Memorial Day was, Buzz. We capped off the day after a day of frustration and computers and mixing boards and all kinds of frustrating, brain-melting idiocy. Right. We finished the day by watching Chernobyl because we wanted to remain festive. You know,
you wanted the fun to continue.
I know. But I mean, Chernobyl, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but terrifying.
It's a musical. I thought it was a musical.
That's right. Only a matter of time before they do the Broadway musical of Chernobyl, right? Uh-huh. But the thing that occurred to me, this is my big takeaway from after watching the first episode of the Chernobyl miniseries on HBO, that nuclear power is totally safe until it's apocalyptic. and that's the problem when it becomes apocalyptic. It's not like an oil spill where the disaster is contained, right? With nuclear power, it's cancer and death and burns and awfulness that last for 50,000 years.
I did a story last week on my news about the results of the hydrogen bomb that we tested in the Marshall Islands.
Yeah.
And how it rained radioactive ash, and the children rolled in it and ate it, thinking it was snow. Or pretending it was snow, but children actually ate it. And what they ate remains radioactive for 24,000 years. This bomb, this hydrogen bomb, this test, they thought it was going to be maybe 2.5 times more powerful than the atomic bomb that flattened Hiroshima. I think more correctly pronounced. I think it's important we try to get these things right culturally. And I believe it's Hiroshima. But we flattened that city with an atomic bomb. And we thought, well, the hydrogen bomb we're going to test here in the Marshall Islands, that'll be like 2.5 times stronger. It was 1,000 times stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw that coming, and the cloud went 4.5 miles in the air, and this ash rained down. And so we waited until, I don't know, in like 1977 to put a concrete dome over this ash, over this island. And now that concrete is crumbling. And that's the time bomb.
Nice.
And it's crumbling. This concrete dome is crumbling as the oceans rise, as the sea approaches it. What could possibly go wrong? The idea was, well, let's cap it until we can think of a better thing.
Yeah.
Well, we got busy and we just didn't think about it. And so there's that. And then the UFOs, which I hope we get to talk about a little bit at some point.
Because
while it's never been a passion of mine, there's some pretty compelling United States naval video that people ought to see. It's really interesting and bizarre and unexplained.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm so glad that dome is crumbling and we've got Trump as president.
Trump is crazy.
Right here in a crisis. See, you know, there's nobody better to handle it.
doesn't he seem less bad now? Aren't you less like worried? And actually, you know, that's like stolen from an old George Carlin joke as the hippy dippy weatherman when he said, you know, he's the stoned weatherman and he says, the radar shows a line of thunder showers, but it also shows a line of Russian ICBMs, so I wouldn't sweat the thunder showers. You know, and it's essentially the same joke as painfully hilarious as it is.
Yeah, I know. How bad could Trump be? I mean, after could be facing Chernobyl.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but that is
so
true.
So you've dived into Chernobyl. I've heard nothing but good things about that series. A lot of people on board with it. I haven't had the time or the cheery mood that you've had to jump into it, but I should see it. I hope to see it at some point. It's something that interests me, especially after doing that story last week about what's falling apart now in the Marshall Islands.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing with Chernobyl that I kept noting in my head is that it felt completely and totally immersive. I felt like, and for better or worse, I felt like I was there. It had that documentary feel to it. The only face I recognized in the cast was the guy from Mad Men, the British guy from Mad Men, whose name I forget. But that was the only sort of recognizable face that may have taken you out of it a little bit. But good Lord, if that's the worst complaint that you can come up with, that's, I mean, it's doing glowingly because...
so to speak.
Shit, right. I guess one of my big takeaways, on top of the fact that nuclear power is potentially apocalyptic, is the fact that you need good leadership to go along with nuclear power. You can't have nuclear power. You can't have nuclear weapons. You can't have nuclear anything if you've got a bunch of imbeciles.
Trump is crazy.
Like that guy running the show, or, you know, the Soviets running the Chernobyl power plant. And and so you see a cascading series of bad decisions, like right off the bat. Don't panic. The core has exploded, sir. But comrade, you're delusional. You're just seeing things. It didn't really explode. And of course, we find out that, yes, the core did explode. And then there's firefighters picking up pieces of graphite, like radioactive, blazingly hot graphite.
Right.
And hey, check this out. What is this? You ever seen something like this? Nah, I've never seen anything like that, comrade. Oh, well, put it down. Okay, I'm going to put it down. Oh, my God, now my hands are burning off. So many awful decisions, and you just want to reach into the television and grab someone by the lapels and say, can you not see what's going on here? And I feel like historians of the future are going to look back at the Trump administration, and, you know, we're all doing it now, quite honestly. We're grabbing the red hats by the lapels and going, why can't you see? Why don't you see what you're doing? Mass delusion is happening here.
It's going to be more of a challenge in the U.S., but the most encouraging piece of climate and environmental news I've heard this week is that in spite of the right-wing victories in the European Union elections and in the U.K., in spite of those conservative results, guess which party? Because, you know, in Britain, the amount of power you get in government, each party, and there are multiple parties, the amount of power they get is dependent on how many votes they get. Yep. Well, guess who ran a really close second to the right-wingers?
Who? It's going to make me angry, isn't it?
No, it's going to make you very happy.
Oh.
It's the Green Party.
Well, maybe that's okay.
Well, the point is environmental activists are rising in power and in this case running second in that particular race to these extreme right-wing conservatives, extremists, really.
This is your cup half full attitude, Buzz. Because
yes,
I'm
it
looking
is.
At this. I hear Green and I hear Jill Stein. I hear
no. I think they're. I mean, I'm not sure it's the same. Is it the same Green Party that Jill Stein?
Definitely not. Yeah, but it's the same.
I don't think so. I was reading about it this morning in the British paper, The Guardian, and, you know, this is, I guess, the Green Party in the UK, I believe, is a different organization. It was handled, at least in this story, in a way that indicated that these are environmentalists who are concerned about climate change, and their concern is so great, and they've gained enough political momentum and support that they're now able to achieve the second most powerful voice in their government.
You know, see, I haven't read anything about the Green Party over there, and I hope you're right. I hope they're genuine and earnest in their cause and their agenda, and not just some sort of carve out to scramble the left-right paradigm or something like that, scramble the party system there or elsewhere. I hope that's the case and not some sort of Trojan horse for Vladimir Putin to, you know, further interfere with Western democracy, Western alliances, and so on.
Oh, of course. And we should be on the lookout for that. And to be honest, I've not had a chance to dig that deeply into the story. It's the next thing I'm going to be working on. So I haven't gone into this as deeply as I would like. But what I'm seeing, and in fact, I'm now looking at a Washington Post article about it. And it seems to be considered a favorable thing. That a voice for the environment is rising in power.
Yeah, now, and you know what? I'll take it at face value. If that is actually the case, then...
And I'll look into it more. I mean, let me put a big asterisk on this because I haven't delved into it. This is fresh this morning, Bob. I haven't had a chance to see this yet, and I got a lot going on.
I know, me too. Well, I don't know anything. You know more about it than I do, so I'm sitting here. As soon as I hear green, I start to lean on the panic button just because of what we see here in recent years with Jill Stein turning out to just be the spoiler, Ralph Nader being a spoiler, right, the Green Party, and so on. So we have this reputation here with the Green Party of just candidates who are there to take votes away from the major parties, elevating people there for like Donald Trump. But it may be a completely different dynamic in England and certainly in the EU in those elections. So my fingers are crossed right now, praying that Farage doesn't end up as prime minister.
How's this? I'm just a paragraph I've picked out of the middle here. Exit polls in Germany show the Greens to be the overwhelming top choice for young voters and first-time voters. The party also did especially well in cities, taking voters from, and here's the good part, Bob, from center-left and center-right parties.
Okay, all right.
So it seems, I'm hearing centrist there as opposed to extremist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, I'm going to stay, I will decide right here and now. You can mark the day and time. I'm going to take a positive attitude. I'm going to borrow from you, Buzz, and take a positive attitude about this. But I mean, you know, the
no, take my advice. Leave me out on this limb by myself.
Okay, then it's all yours.
And until we've had a chance to research it more, and I can climb back up the tree if I fall.
All right, here's a saw, in case you need to get down.
Thank you. I think I've already started with one.
Oh, a brief correction, by the way, just out of the blue here, complete tangent. You know, I spent a lot of time last week talking about how the first radio station I worked at out of college, I worked at some radio stations before I graduated. After I graduated, my first radio station was WEEU, and I was talking a lot last week about how the Reading Eagle, which owns WEEU, got bought out by a hedge fund, and the word was that they were going to be shutting down the radio station. Well, there's a correction on that story. After all that time I spent, I can't rely on the goddamn Reading Eagle to report on its own newspaper, the sale of its own paper, its own property. They got it wrong. They had to run a correction over the weekend that said, Media News Group, which is this hedge fund, did not purchase the federal broadcast license for radio station WEEU 830 AM and will play no role in the station's future. A story in Thursday's Reading Eagle incorrectly stated that the company planned to close the station. All right.
Well, I'm giving my saw to them.
Stand down, red alert. There is no sale of this radio station. My
Thank goodness.
God.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Very, you know, independent, locally serving radio stations like that. Very rare, as well as a station I'm fond of in Iowa City called KCJJ.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's a great one. And, you know, again, they're like sister stations insofar as they both kind of do the same thing. They're these amazing full-service radio stations that literally serve the community. They play music, they have news programs. It's a variety of things. That's where we get the full-service label for these radio stations because they do everything under the sun, everything that you can put on the radio, you normally find on these stations. And it's so rare to find such a local state where you have local people as the DJs, you have local people understanding what's going on in the community and relating that on the air. And that doesn't happen anymore in the age of syndication. So it's quite a relief when I find out that a station like WEEU, even though, you know, it was touch and go there for me for a while when I worked there, and I didn't get mentioned in any of the WEEU history articles that went along with the potential shutting down of the station.
That must be corrected.
Yeah, I know. Well, God damn you people. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that it's such a valuable resource in that area. One of the few things that I really liked about the Redding and Berks County area that set it apart from most of Pennsylvania. So really happy to hear that news. Okay. Other news that I'm thrilled to hear, and I know you are too, Buzz, the Supreme Court with a couple of very, very surprising rulings, which makes me feel, I don't know about you, but makes me feel a lot better about the eventual fate of this Alabama law eventually getting struck down by the Supreme Court. I mean, that's I've got my fingers crossed with that, too.
There was one today that I know. Have I forgotten another?
There were two. The first one was the Indiana abortion law. And the second one was the Pennsylvania transgender law.
I did not get that one.
Yes, this is okay. Let's start with that one then. The Supreme Court on Tuesday declined to review a Pennsylvania school district's policy letting transgender students use restrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identities. So basically, the long and short of it is the appeals court ruling for the Third Circuit is upheld. And so that ruling allowed there to be transgender students using the locker rooms and bathrooms based on their own identity. So this is good news for the transgender community. This is good news for equality. The Supreme Court has upheld this appeals court ruling.
You know, this whole concept is so stupid from the party whose slogan ought to be "We're for laws you don't need." because that's this is another one of those.
Yeah.
And it is just it's insane because nothing turns a person on, male or female, nothing gets you hotter than seeing someone go to the bathroom. It's just and
I know what, you too.
What, that's not normal? What are you saying? No, of course it's
unless you're in Russia with prostitutes, it's not normal.
Right. There are exceptions, I grant you, but we have security. We can take care of it.
You know, I'm noticing that the school district at issue here is the Boyertown Area School District, which is sort of, from what I recall, I think it's northeast of where I used to live, just like the next town up the road. And the funny thing about the, and this is not so funny, like ha-ha funny, but let's say this, the interesting thing about Boyertown is that when I used to drive up to Boyertown for whatever reason, and if it happened to be a weekend, I could always find some KKK people in the center of Boyertown protesting in full hoods and robes. My God, it was like suddenly I entered Oh Brother, Where Art Thou land. And, you know, like if they made a theme park of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the Coen Brothers movie, that's suddenly downtown Boyertown. Loaded with KKK people marching up and down the streets, handing out paraphernalia, pamphlets,
keychains, and bottle openers,
T-shirts,
refrigerator magnets.
They have the T-shirt cannon launching hoods, you know, wadded up pointy hoods and T-shirt cannons launching them at passersby.
The crowds go wild.
So really great news here, and obviously the first takeaway in all of this is that the Red Hats and the evangelicals and maybe even Trump himself are losing their spadoinkle today, because this is one of the things that I think precipitated a lot of people to abandon their morality, abandon their sense of decency and decorum to vote for Donald Trump, because they were terrified of suddenly transgender people in the bathrooms and, you know, all the awfulness.
Part of it, yes. Yeah. It's always the fear. I mean, you've written, it's always the fear. And that's, you know, everything they do is based on that. And the laws we don't need that they come up with are based on fear that something is going to happen that won't happen, whether it's abortion or voter fraud or this. Mm-hmm. It's all based on fears that are unfounded.
Well, the only downside here, it doesn't set a national precedent So this ruling can't be used as precedent to establish additional rulings in additional cases. But I think this is a really good sign when you have a 5-4 court stacked the way it is with Gorsuch and Kavanaugh in there, and certainly Clarence Thomas. And we got to talk about Clarence Thomas here in a second.
Must we? It does send a message, though.
Unfortunately.
It does. Even though it's not a legal precedent, it does send a message, I think, and that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, then we also have this Indiana abortion law getting struck down. This is a Mike Pence law. I mean, you talk about another poke to the eye of all the red hats that I'm really enjoying today.
It's another stroke and a poke.
Right.
In this case, because they gave the red hats a little something for the effort.
Yeah, the disposal of fetal remains, I guess now in Indiana, that is upheld, and that means that abortion clinics and so on, they have to dispose of the fetal remains as if they're people being buried. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Well, I've read unclear accounts of this.
Yeah.
I've read an ACLU interpretation said, no, the law really just said that the woman has to take the fetal remains with her when she leaves the clinic.
Yeah. So
the woman has to carry the remains out of the clinic herself.
I see.
And after that, according to the ACLU, she can do with them whatever she wants. But the Republicans sold the idea, sold that law, by telling the public that it required them to bury or cremate the tissue.
Yeah.
That in some cases may have been just miscarried. These are people who never had birth certificates. These are not people. This is tissue that for which birth certificates were never issued because a life was never lived.
Right.
There was never a life there. No death certificate, no birth certificate, no death certificate. And yet there's this attempt to portray them as people, and it's tissue. In some cases, like I said, miscarriage. So, it's just an insane law. Conservatives get to keep that.
Yeah.
Although it isn't, the goodish news is it's terrible that a woman should have to carry the remains out, and that still has to be fought, but at least, we're not going to have a pretend funeral for something that was never a person.
What do they do? Like teeny tiny body bags or like a two inch long coffin?
It can vary. It can vary. It depends on the size of the fetus. It depends on what age the fetus was miscarried or at what stage of development it was aborted for whatever legitimate reason that the mother had. We're still stuck with that. And that's a terrible thing that sends a terrible message. But yes, at least we got rid of the restrictions, which, by the way, once again, laws we don't need. Mm-hmm. This was to prevent abortions based on sex, race, ethnicity, or disability. Okay, well, first of all, nobody does that, except in the cases of some disabilities. And what the law in Indiana did not specify is what kind of disabilities, how severe. Is this, if I give birth to this, is it just going to turn around and die anyway? And why are we doing this? So the law was just a mess, and it has been overturned, the abortion restrictions. But again, basically a law for something we didn't need, wasn't a problem, just like voter fraud and all the other things that they perpetrate.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This is something that does not happen. And so it's rather shocking when you see the parameters, though, of this law and then superimpose the decision itself, which is, it's just kind of amazing, given the conservative nature of the Supreme Court right now, that they have struck down a law that prohibited abortion based solely on the fetus's sex or because, basically the conservative court is allowing abortions based on choosing the gender of the baby, for God's sake.
Nobody saw that coming. This is huge. And don't you think this is a back off message to Georgia and Mississippi and Missouri and Alabama?
Well, possibly. I think that could very well be the case. This could be a warning shot to say, hey, listen, you guys are overreaching. Stop doing this because you're really going to shoot yourselves in the foot. This is going to set major precedent backstopping and reinforcing Roe v. Wade. This isn't going to hurt Roe v. Wade. These things
you're
are
going to helping.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Indiana law, as shocking as it is, talking about the disposing of fetal remains and making the mother carry it out of the clinic, clinic, and if you didn't think that was, it's mild. It's nothing compared to the Missouri law or the Alabama law, the Mississippi law. And so if the Supreme Court's not going to give the time of day to this case, what are they going to do to those other cases that are quickly headed their way?
Well, here's the thing. There's part of me who thinks that a lot of this, I mean, the most recent laws here, the Alabama law, Georgia law, Missouri law, of course, that these are all moves that are cynical and they're all about reinforcing and encouraging the base. This is all about getting reelected. This is not about banning abortion. These are moves that are made cynically in order to pacify the base. And without the anti-abortion, anti-choice Republican base, that Republican cohesion disappears. That is the thing. That the abortion issue binds the entire conservative Republican bloc, the entire coalition, from center right all the way over to Alex Jones land, to Ron Paul vicinity. That entire gigantic bloc is held together by the abortion issue. And suddenly, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, there's nothing else to hold these people together. Suddenly, it's just, I guess all they have left is racism.
They'll always have that, Bob.
Have race.
Well, and I'm not sure it's worth the price. I think there are other ways to watch the party fall apart. In fact, how about this instead?
Okay.
No. How about this? What if, because the Republican Party is so married to this abortion crackdown that is not playing well across America, it's not only angered women and their supporters, but it's fired up the Democratic base even more, if that's possible. The Democrats in this case represent the vast majority of the American people.
Yep.
The polls show Americans, including a majority of Republicans, it's like 53% of Republicans, want to keep Roe versus Wade. They want to keep abortion safe and legal from coast to coast. And so the Republicans are doing something that America doesn't want and is very, and not only does America not want it, in this case, America is very, very emotional about it. Yep. And as with Trumpers versus non-Trumpers, pro-choice versus anti-choice, it's a fierce battle, but I'm sorry, the conservatives are once again in the minority. And in this case, a pretty small minority.
Yeah.
This is not, they're going to pay for this in 2020. Mm-hmm. I really think that they're going to pay for this in 2020 and a host of other transgressions, I hope.
Here's a kind of an additional bit of relief coming out of this whole thing, that there aren't any other Supreme Court justices who are as fucking crazy and stupid and misinformed as Clarence fucking Thomas.
Asshole. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just, that's what he is. That's what he's best at.
Yep.
I can't think of anybody. You read his what few things he said publicly.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his voting record and the opinions he's written. Just a complete asshole.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't normally use that term on anybody, but I can't think of anybody who fits the description better.
Yeah. There's no excuse for this opinion that he offered. He offered a dissenting opinion in this case, in this Indiana abortion case. And here's what he writes. He said, "This case highlights the fact that abortion is an act rife with the potential for eugenic manipulation. From the beginning, birth control and abortion." Remember, he's underscoring birth control here. "Birth control and abortion were promoted as means of effectuating eugenics. Planned Parenthood founder," here we go, "Margaret Sanger was particularly open about the fact that birth control could be used for eugenic purposes," etc. He goes on and on and on. Once again, this is a Supreme Court justice. This is one of nine men and women who compose one third of the entire United States federal government. That's how important each one of these individual Supreme Court justices are. And this guy knows fucking nothing about the science or the history of Planned Parenthood. Here's what we're getting down to with all of this. He's talking about Margaret Sanger. He's basically going full conspiracy theorist and selectively reading a quote that goes around all the time, a Margaret Sanger quote from a letter that she wrote in, I want to say it was the 1930s, but I could be wrong about that. But nevertheless, she wrote a letter, and something in that letter is constantly getting quoted by the anti-choice crowd as meaning, oh, Planned Parenthood, oh, abortion, it's all about evil, eugenics. Yeah.
Evil roots, yeah.
Right. And here's the part that they quote. This is what Clarence Thomas is thinking about from Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. We want to exterminate the Negro population. That's what they draw out of this quote from Margaret Sanger. Now, if, as Paul Harvey says, we examine the rest of the story, here's the whole rest of the quote. We're going to start from the beginning of this. I think it are two sentences. She's talking about here a minister who she wanted to hire, an African-American minister who can go into African-American communities and talk to them about Planned Parenthood. Okay, so that's the context in all this. The minister's work is also important, and he should be trained, perhaps by the Federation, as to our ideals and the goals that we hope to reach. We do not want word to go out. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. Right. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. So that is the full quote. That is basically that's like selectively editing a movie review to make it sound positive when it's not. Yeah.
Or slowing down, Madam Speaker. It's what they do. Listen, you know, here's the thought process I'm churning right now. I guess there are maybe two types of even educated people. And Clarence Thomas is unquestionably educated.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him smart, as we all know the difference there. But what I've come to understand about these folks is that they think with their gut and not with their head. And having reached a conclusion already with their gut, facts are either unimportant to them, or in the case of the more educated, they go looking for whatever evidence they can find to support or to appear to support their gut argument. And it's maddening, and maybe they know that, but it's maddening because you can't talk to them. It's what I've been saying for years is, you know, in essence, the Democrats are saying the sky is blue, and among themselves, as Democrats do, they bicker and argue about what shade of blue it is or how cloudy or not it is.
Right.
Whereas the Democrats are saying, no, green. The sky is green. The sky I'm seeing is green.
Yeah.
Well, how do you talk? They're colorblind. How do you talk to someone? You can't. Yeah. I don't know if, again, I'm open. I wish somebody would go on a podcast and give tips because you just can't. Yeah. It is absolutely maddening. And Claire, whether it's my dad or Clarence Thomas, facts just don't matter to them because they have their own beliefs, their own feelings. It's I believe. You'll hear conservatives say, "I believe this." Well, yeah, you know, people in hell believe ice water's on the way, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It doesn't mean you're going to get that wish. You can believe whatever you want, but you can't change the facts, and it does no good because they don't care about facts.
That's right. And, you know, all these people are propagandized to the hilt. I mean, they are absolutely absorbed completely into AM talk radio and Fox News Channel. And I always go back to this Stephen Colbert quote about Fox News Channel and right-wing media, where he said, "We don't read the news to you. We feel the news at you." It's always very appropriate. So Clarence Thomas isn't reflecting facts. He's feeling the facts at you rather than delivering them to you.
And trying to provide what might appear to the less educated as evidence.
That's right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I want to come back and make fun
I think we should agree on what we've learned in this first segment, and that is that Fox News needs to be powered by nuclear energy.
Perfect. I think we have reached the ultimate conclusion
now,
for what happens next.
Now you're ready for segment two.
All right. Back with more show right after this.
I'm a student.
I'm a professional.
I'm a woman.
And I shouldn't have to worry about walking alone, day or night.
I've heard it all.
Honey, give me a smile.
Harmless catcalls?
I never know. I carry Tiger Lady. It's a revolutionary defense tool that's based on one of nature's most efficient defenses, a cat's retractable claws. It weighs less than my phone and is designed to collect DNA. Tiger Lady is discreet and fits in my hand. And when I make a fist, claws come out like a real-life Wolverine. It's easy to use, doesn't require training, and is legal in all 50 states. Get your Tiger Lady today by going to TigerLady.com today.
Tiger Lady makes the perfect graduation gift to prepare her for the world ahead. Get Tiger Lady today for safety's sake at TigerLady.com. And for a limited time, get a pack of four at 15% off. Use the code GRAD and save an additional 20% off your entire order. Go to TigerLady.com. That's TigerLady.com. Tiger Lady, the ultimate gift of personal safety for any graduate.
Hey, this is Randy Rhodes, host of the Randy Rhodes After Hours podcast. Every week we talk about everything that matters to you, from our future as a democracy to our existence on this here planet. Find it all at sexyliberal.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Thank you, Buzz, and hi, Buzz. I'm talking to my brother over the weekend, and he goes, I always think it's hilarious when you got Buzz on the show, and then you play a Buzz liner. So it's like you got Buzz on tape, you got Buzz live. One of these days,
the recording and I are going to have an argument.
Exactly. I'm just waiting for that day. That'll be fun. This is Dave Moulter, Be the Sunshine. We played this song, an amazing throwback song to, groups like Fifth Dimension. It's very proggish to me, too. Be the Sunshine, we got a link in the description below in case you want to download this song and others by Dave Moulter. All right. Okay, we're back on the show here, just in time to make fun of Sebastian Gorka. You know, this came down sometime after we finished the after party on Friday, which is always when the big news stories drop. But Sebastian Gorka made a video that he posted on his Twitter the other day, and it is absolutely 100% serious, and it is 100% hilarious. Unintentionally so. But here he is. Get ready. Hang on to your hats. Sebastian Gorka has a warning for you.
I knew this day would come, but I didn't expect it so soon. Thanks to the actions and statements of Nancy Pelosi in the last 48 hours, the president has brought forth his decision, and the Kraken has been unleashed. With his decision tonight to allow the Attorney General to declassify any information relating to the illegal surveillance against his presidential campaign and his administration, we will find out who began the biggest political scandal in American history and where the responsibility lies. Watch in the next 2 days the rats, the hyenas, start to eat each other. Clapper, Brennan, Lynch, even Obama. The fun and games have begun. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Stay tuned. SebGorka.com.
Oh, God. But by the way, don't go to SebGorka.com. I didn't mean to include his plug at the end of that thing. But he was absolutely serious. He's talking about now Donald Trump and Bill Barr's investigation of the investigators. That was the context of that whole thing. And now, have you seen already people starting to eat each other alive? James Clapper and...
Well, yeah, but it has nothing to do with Gorka. Gorka is not somebody... I know the name. That's really about all I know about him. I never hear about him, honestly. I never hear about him. I was not familiar with his story. I'm wondering, you know, how much of a player he is in all this.
Yeah, no, not anymore.
Am I missing? Yeah. Well, see, I'm sorry. I just think stuff like that is a strike. It's funny, you know, and I'm glad we featured it for that reason. But it always bothers me that, you know, we give some of these guys more spotlight than maybe they're worthy of can be justified. And I don't mean to be critical. I realize I've painted myself into a corner here, but it just sort of my gut reaction to that is, who is this guy and why do we care?
Well, you know, Buzz, America has to laugh once in a while. And I think
it's true.
That's the true. Point of talking about Sebastian Gorka is to,
it is to troll Sebastian Gorka.
Yeah,
it is in this case, you know, although I'm more interested in jailing them and hurting their feelings for those who deserve it. I you know, forgive me. I'm in that sort of serious frame of mind. I too try to make people laugh in the midst of all this, as lame as those efforts may be. But, I worry about showcasing some of these folks. And, yeah, it was funny, silly, crazy, insane. I guess what I was also thinking during that ominous music is about the article that I read this morning that said Republicans plan to, in about April of next year, in the next election year, launch trials of James Comey and some of the other figures that they consider part of the deep state.
Right.
Peter Strzok. They're going to put all those folks on trial. Show trials, they'll be, but on trial nevertheless. And at this dictator-loving time in history, it's all a very frightening prospect. I just got struck by extreme sobriety there for a moment.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, the overarching issue itself of investigating the investigators, super, super serious. Sebastian Gorka weighing in with this hilariously over-the-top and ominous video on Twitter or wherever the hell he posted it,
right.
not nearly anywhere in the universe of being serious, which is why I think it's important to take an issue like that and to use their own fucking stupidity to laugh at them and to troll them. That's precisely the reason why.
Yeah.
Everyone had, and in fact, on Twitter on Friday and Saturday, everyone was having a lot of fun with that one, mainly because, again, it's like so super duper serious. And he's making forecasts here about all these horrible things happening
that he hopes and wishes and half believes will happen.
Yeah. Right. But you open the door to your, you open your front door and look outside. And it's crickets chirping. I don't see James Comey going after Clapper or anything like that. So it's not really that big a deal. And I mean, eventually it could. I mean, that's the thing. It's just it's what it is from a Trump point of view. I mean, if this is the context of Donald Trump and discussing his next move or Bill Barr's next move, then we're talking about something deeply and profoundly serious and awful. But this guy doesn't know what the hell is going on. I mean, Sebastian Gorka was an advisor to the president inside the White House for a good long time, but he's no longer there. He no longer has an influence. Now he's just part of the peanut gallery who sits and makes prognostications, and they're always wrong.
Not really part of the story yet. But I see your point too. He's reflecting that's entire sort of Trump land mentality that we're hearing. I mean, in many ways, except for the drama, what he said is not that much different from what we hear from Lindsey Graham on any given day. So they're all on the same page. It's funny in his case, but scary overall that's the position that that's what we're up against there. Very, very concerning where we are right now. Hey, I was thinking about this today, a week ago today when we were talking.
Yeah.
We were asking, where's Mueller and can we start the impeachment now? And it's a week later and we're asking, where's Mueller and can we start the impeachment now? So I don't think a lot's been accomplished over the last week. And It does seem pretty pressing, considering the oppressive way things are headed.
Really, where are we with that? Is there any additional movement? I know Charlie Pierce was on the Stephanie Miller show this morning, and he mentioned something along the lines, well, there could be some kind of bureaucratic wrangling, some sort of friction behind the scenes that is causing this, because I can't think of any justifiable reason for Robert Mueller to be stonewalling the way he's stonewalling. I mean, it's immensely frustrating, and it brings out my paranoid side, and I can't help but to
a lot of
go
people,
down that road. But again, we are in a profoundly and unbelievably dangerous national emergency right now. I mean, this is not something.
Sound the alarms.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to see spinning lights and hear roaring sirens at this point.
Yeah, exactly. This is where you throw the gloves off and you do your patriotic duty to stand up and say, this is what I know and this is what I can tell you. And so we have to do X and Y. Congress has to make these moves, or here's what I was observing behind the scenes. Here's what we saw. Here's what I meant by this particular paragraph and this particular sentence in the report. All kinds of questions have got to be answered right now. And the fact that it's been more than 2 months since Robert Mueller delivered that report to Bill Barr, I mean, it's outrageous that he hasn't come forward and backed up his claims, or at least clarified in some of the things he was saying.
Yeah. I keep hearing he does work still for the Justice Department and that he doesn't work for the Justice Department. I have to ask myself, are they holding his pension ransom? Are they exerting some control over him, the administration, to keep him from testifying? I mean, I believe the terms that he's put forth are his. I don't think those came from the administration. The terms, of course, he's willing to make an opening statement publicly. And then the doors have to go closed and the TV cameras switched off so that he can answer questions. I understand to a certain degree the logic that he doesn't want to be asked stunt questions by Republicans on television. He doesn't want to be, you know, messed with on TV for the sake of a Republican soundbite or, for that matter, a Democratic soundbite. But I think we know who's more prone to that. Yeah. So, you know, you can apply some logic to some of these things and say, and try to rationalize and justify. But the more time goes on, the harder it is to talk people down from the position that he's a traitor. My only concern is we should never take our focus off the real criminals here, who clearly the Attorney General and the President, to name two. To me, we should never take our focus off of them. Mueller may not be helping right now, but he's not the enemy either.
No.
Trump's the enemy. Barr's the enemy. I think we need to keep that distinction clear. Mueller may not be our friend, but he may not be an enemy. He might be Switzerland. We just don't know, and we won't know until he talks, but he's expressed some willingness to do that. And so far as we know, the negotiations continue. Whether or not they're holding his pension hostage or something, which seems like an option to me, because they've certainly done it to other Justice Department employees recently, I can understand why Mueller wouldn't want to give that up, nor would you in that same situation. I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's what kind of what Sebastian Gorka was talking about just a few minutes ago. Obviously, everyone knows by now that Trump has given Bill Barr, quote unquote, full and complete authority to unilaterally declassify government secrets and U.S. intelligence, and he's ordered U.S. intelligence agencies to cooperate with this inquest by Bill Barr and this audit of the investigation. Trump wants Barr to investigate the origins of the Russia investigation and the tactics used by investigators. Of course, this is a case where they're just going to take some innocuous document, and because it was declassified, they're going to say, see, look at this. Look at this official-looking document. You don't have to read it. Don't read it, by the way. Don't even bother looking at it.
Right.
But it's official, and it looks like, oh, my God, it's got James Comey's name in there. Oh, my God, this must mean he's guilty. And that's
see,
exactly.
What can happen.
Yeah,
but William Barr will write a 4-page memo.
Yeah.
mischaracterizing what he found in looking at that evidence, because that's his MO. That's what he does. That's what he was hired to do. Yeah. Everybody knows it. That's why we got to stop this circus now.
Mm-hmm.
This charade can't go on any longer. It's time to put the brakes on this. Maddening about this is it's not only all this ties together with Assange, of course, which is a backdoor way. We pick a really bad guy so that we can lay legal groundwork to go after good journalists, ethical journalists. And so we got that going for us. But at the same time, we have the hypocrisy of charging Assange for the very thing we've just given William Barr permission to do.
Yep.
William Barr can now make classified secrets public, but Assange is headed for prison over it if the administration gets its way. I don't think it's going to win that case. I certainly hope it doesn't, not because I love Julian Assange, but because I love a free press. But yeah, all three of these stories tie together, and all very equally concerning on different levels.
Why do you suppose Trump's going after Julian Assange first and not an actual journalist, not someone
test
from
case.
The New York Times or the
test
Washington
case. Post? Well, PR. You do it to say, see, this is to go after bad people.
Mm.
We all agree Julian Assange is a bad person. So that's why we need to pursue people who publish secrets. And then once they've nailed him, assuming they succeed, and again, I don't think they would, but assuming they succeeded, then they could say, well, this reporter over here, he published secrets also. He deserves the same punishment as Julian Assange. And so you equate them by starting with a bad guy and then using that precedent to go after the good guys. That's their thinking, whether it succeeds or not.
Well, it seems to me as if he went after, and I'm just picking a name out of a hat here, if he went after Michael Schmidt from the New York Times, who has published some pretty amazing bombshells over the past couple of years.
Yes, he has.
And if he went after Michael Schmidt, though, it seems to me from the failing New York Times, seems to me as if Trump would absolutely fluff and stoke his base, which are the only people who are going to be supporting Donald Trump in 2020. So to me, going after Julian Assange to kind of ease in the process, to slowly boil the frog with the Espionage Act, seems like he's dragging his feet for some reason. And I'm not sure what that reason is, if he has an entire base of voters who would absolutely love him if he prosecuted a New York Times reporter or someone similar, an MSNBC analyst or something like that, using the Espionage Act. I'm not sure. Again, I understand the reasoning, and I understand, now that I've had a chance to think about it, certainly, of what Rachel was saying the other night. What I don't understand is why he needs the Assange stepping stool toward prosecuting other journalists.
It could be as simple as that's the way his brain works. It could be as simple.
No, right. That makes sense. So yeah,
It seems to me that it's plausible that his thinking could be that we start by using this. We do this with a bad guy, and then we can go after real journalists with it. I think he wants a precedent, a test case. I think that's the line of thinking. When I say he, I mean he and probably Stephen Miller or others in his administration who think this is a grand idea, is to let's lay the groundwork, and then once we show people that what Julian Assange is wrong, we can go after journalists for doing the same thing.
Gotcha.
That's just my guess. It certainly legally opens the door for that. We don't want to allow that either. But it just seems so diabolically clever to me to establish a legal precedent using a bad guy as a prop, Assange, and then as establishing the precedent to go after your nemesis in the free press.
Yeah. I mean, it could also be, too, Donald Trump just spinning the wheel of treachery and just going, big money, spinning the wheel. It goes through and he's spinning that big wheel like on The Price is Right. And he lands on, Espionage Act, jibba-doo, I'm going to go with that one. And so maybe that's one of the things that he's thinking about. I don't know. None of it makes sense to me. It's all fucking awful. It's all despotic. And worse is we're seeing it spread around the world now, and it's all Russia, and we've got half of the voting population here who are like, I don't even get it. It's immensely frustrating.
They've either tuned out or they've made up their political minds based on their guts, because that's easier than thinking. Don't have time to think. Don't want to think. Thinking hurts my brain. I'm going to go with my gut, which is brown people make me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Liberals are terrible.
Yeah.
And liberals are killing babies across the country. And, there's just no changing their feelings.
Jeez, I hope Clarence Thomas isn't listening to this show, because he's going to report in his next dissenting opinion. He's going to say, Buzz Burbank said brown people are terrible.
Yes.
You better look out with those quotes there, because they get so easily taken out of context.
Yeah, as we found out.
All right.
Nancy Pelosi is a prime example.
On that note, one last break, and we'll wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit bubblegenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Okay, welcome back. This is Eddie Heinzelman. Yeah. And the song is called Medicine. And it is from, I don't know what the hell it's from, because I can't see it. Oh, there it is, coming up. There it is, the Wherever You Go album.
Were your eyes following the label around the turntable?
Yes, I know. That's exactly what I was doing. Like, I can't see where this is going. Medicine from Wherever You Go. Eddie Heinzelman, link in the description, of course.
He'll be on the countdown show, right?
Absolutely, which I should be recording this coming up weekend. I think that's when it's scheduled. I think that's when I'll have time to do it. So, new music or any music countdown coming up this weekend. All right, let's see here. Donald Trump went after Joe Biden. You know what? He didn't just go after Joe Biden. He actually, this is amazing. This is something where if this had been a Democratic president, if this had been Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, standing on foreign soil.
Right.
And taking the side of a communist authoritarian, Kim Jong-un, and saying that, I agree with that communist authoritarian who has nuclear weapons pointed at us. I agree with him about Joe Biden being a low IQ individual.
Vice president. Former vice president.
Former vice president.
Yeah. Right? No, we didn't used to do that, Bob. We didn't used to do stuff like that. And it's hard to get surprised, be surprised, flummoxed by this because, as terrible as it is, as unprecedented as it is, it's just not shocking anymore. Yeah. That's a terrible, terrible state of affairs. And again, this just presses the need to punish the man for it to make it stop. Because if we don't, people are going to accept that this is normal behavior, which has been one of your fears from the beginning. Yeah. I didn't see it happening because I thought we would have freaking stopped it by now.
I know.
Even with the election now less than 18 months away, I don't care. We can't wait that long.
I know.
The situation is too dangerous internally and externally. Our most pressing problems, be they the corruption or the environment or whatever, we can't address any of those things until this guy's gone.
I remember when Bill Clinton was president, and I remember sitting in your newsroom at WJFK and listening to G. Gordon Liddy screaming, Bill Clinton, you suckers, 43% suckers.
I always wanted him to play the penguin.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. That would have been perfect casting. Boy, if we could only go back to G. Gordon Liddy when he was in his early 90s instead of where he is now, 208.
Yeah.
208 years young for G. Gordon Liddy. G. Gordon Liddy would sit there and talk about how Bill Clinton stood on foreign soil when he was a teenager and criticizing the Vietnam War. That Bill Clinton stood on foreign soil and he criticized our fighting men in Vietnam.
That's very good. That's a very good impression, by the way. I'm very impressed. Terrific. That was spot on from what I recall.
Many hours listening to him.
Through
the speakers in your newsroom and then being accosted by him, whether it was in the WJFK bathroom. Hi there, high pockets. And then suddenly I can't pee. Can you imagine? Like a Watergate burglar walking up to the urinal right next to you and going, hi there, high pockets. And then suddenly it's, and any Watergate burglar is going to, who's peeing right next to you.
What a surreal experience that was, wasn't it? I mean, it really was. Anyway.
And anytime I see G. Gordon Liddy or I hear about G. Gordon Liddy, I go, my God, he used to call me High Pockets. And I used to see him in the bathroom. And I used to watch him combing the salad remnants out of his mustache, too. That was fun.
Yeah.
His little brushing, mustache comb.
Do I call him brushing his teeth? I think I do. But hygiene, very important.
Right, right. But, yeah. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I have no idea where 208-year-old G. Gordon Liddy stands on the Donald Trump administration, but I can only imagine that he's supportive of everything that's going on.
He broke into an office for Nixon, so that may give you some idea.
Not a stretch.
Did time in the D.C. jail and ate rats. So,
they're called inmates. Or what was his thing about referring?
They're not inmates. They're prisoners.
They're prisoners. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Whatever. What a weirdo. I'll never forget. And in fact, over the weekend, my brother came up to me and we were talking about something, and he mentioned the Gary Busey character in the Lethal Weapon movies and how he holds Mr. Joshua, your arm, please. And Gary Busey holds his arm over a cigarette lighter.
Yes.
And I said, I always remember G. Gordon Liddy's explanation for how he was able to do that. And my brother goes, oh, yeah, what did he say? And he said, well, you know, the secret is not minding. Which is always hysterical to me. The way he was able to hold his arm over an open flame is...
His hand, the palm of his hand over an open flame to show others just how tough he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And, I don't know how much of that... I mean, he did have some military training. I suppose he could have, at a younger age, executed some of those things.
Yeah.
He used to... We get off on these tangents because it's so wild.
I know.
You can kill a man with one drop of nicotine the size of a head of a pin. You know, you can kill a man by driving a ballpoint pen through his heart. You know, he knew all the neat ways to kill people, which was, you know, fun. You want a guy like that around the office, you know, in case things go sideways.
So funny. Did he accost you at any point? Did he actually come over to the newsroom and give you a shit at some point in time?
No, never, never. You know, really? I did the news on his show for some time. This all seems surreal to me because Watergate was the first story I covered when I got into radio news. One of the first after. And he was the villain. He was Satan. He was evil back in those days. As I saw. And the next thing I know, I'm with him at the Watergate Hotel doing a 25th anniversary of the break-in show, and I was doing news on his show, and then he and another show fought over me, and they loved me for a while, he hated me for a while. In the end, I was out of there and didn't care. But that was kind of my encounter. And no, I always kept the speakers turned down. I never listened to his right-wing radio show where he read from right-wing newspapers and took calls from sycophants.
Well, one of these days I'll recount the story in which I was sitting in your newsroom getting things prepped for the day, and he comes wandering over during a commercial break. He says, hey there, hi, Pockets. And at the time, you had a signed photograph of David Letterman up on the wall.
Yeah, semi-listener, yeah.
Yeah, and that caused all kinds of controversy. G. Gordon Liddy didn't like that photograph of David Letterman on the wall.
It mocked him. I think it mocked him. But yeah, we'll have to revisit that story someday. Yeah. There are wonderful stories to tell, or horrifying stories to tell.
That's right. Maybe I'll bring it up in the post-mortem show, but we got some last bits of news here to get to before we wrap up for the day.
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, first of all, you know, we were talking about the Joe Biden thing, and again, terrible, terrible, terrible. Trump also says he's not concerned about North Korea's recent ballistic missile tests.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Kim is his friend. Kim is his friend. He doesn't have many friends, Bob.
That's right.
Let him have this one.
Good God.
Kim is his friend. He wrote a lovely letter, he loves Kim. This is what we've heard from this guy so far.
Yeah.
And again, he's on foreign soil praising a dictator and condemning a U.S. vice president.
Yeah.
This is unprecedented, insane, and intolerable, and like you said, it can't go on any longer. It just can't. It just can't, damn it.
Well, here's a couple of seconds of him actually saying it out loud in front of people and video cameras and microphones, which is just amazing to me.
Well, Kim Jong-un made a statement that Joe Biden is a low IQ individual. He probably is, based on his record. I think I agree with him on that. But at the same time, my people think it could have been a violation, as you know. I view it differently. I view it as a man. Perhaps he wants to get attention.
Oh, whatever. Aww. Full of shit, you idiot.
See, he just wants attention.
Yeah, he does.
Pay no attention to the, You know, because as he tweeted, these are small weapons. Really, so American service people in Japan and elsewhere who took cover during the launch of those test missiles, don't sweat it, kids. They're small. They're small weapons.
Good God.
You're going to be fine here. You American troops and our Japanese and South Korean allies, don't worry about the short-range tests. They can only hit you and our people there. Oh, my God. It's just,
yeah, I know.
This is the guy. And really, he has no policy. He's made it clear in Iran. He's all over the road on that. He has no policy. He just takes it moment by moment and wings it.
That's absolutely
like
right.
Like this was improv.
Yeah, because he has no respect for the system. He has no respect for the decorum of the presidency, the process of doing these things. He doesn't get, why do I need to do these things? Why do I need to have all these people? And it's just like, oh, fuck. I can't I can't explain this to Trump supporters. I can't explain this to Trump himself, obviously. And so it's just like you sit and observe these things. And you go, yeah, but for the last 45 or 44 previous presidents, this is how things have been done. And you're talking about making America great again. Well, look at when you thought it was great. Was the president acting like you're acting right now? No, of course not. All right.
No one was. Yeah. No. Yeah, because he doesn't know anything. As he signs, I was reading a story this morning. I don't even remember the topic, but what I drew from the story was, it learns. The administration learns from things. I didn't know it could do that. And it was about some approach that they were taking to a problem, and then that didn't work. And then they tried a wiser approach that people used to use that is more traditional. And so what do I gather from this? On-the-job training. Learn as you go. Yeah. And that's unfortunate because most administrations take office staffed with people who already know how these things work, and they listen to them. And so you pretty much hit the ground running when you take office. We're more than 2 years deep in this administration, and they're just starting to figure out certain little nuances that they had to have time to stumble into rather than using somebody who already knew. This is the height of foolishness.
Yeah. And everyone was talking about with Barack Obama, he's going to have to go through lots of on-the-job training because he has no experience being president. Which is just the dumbest thing in the world. Well, Donald Trump actually has had now more than 2 years of on-the-job training, and he still sucks. Okay. One last thing I wanted to mention too, Buzz, before we wrap up here, is this Michael Wolff revelation printed in The Guardian about Mueller and this draft indictment against Trump. I don't know if you saw that story, but...
No, send that right over.
Yeah, okay, so Michael Wolff, he's the author of Fire and Fury. And
yes.
And by the nature of who this guy is and some of the things he's revealed, certainly in interviews and on cable news and so on, you got to take this with a little bit of a grain of salt, and we'll never know for sure until we actually hear from Mueller himself. And here, yet another good question to ask Robert Mueller. In a new book from Michael Wolff, he says special counsel Robert Mueller drew up a 3-count obstruction of justice indictment against Donald Trump before deciding to shelve it, an explosive claim which a spokesman for Mueller flatly denied. I guess so we now know what Mueller is probably going to say in a testimony. But it said here, the stunning revelation is contained in Siege Trump Under Fire, which is the new Wolff book. It'll be published a week from now on June 4th. It's the sequel to Fire and Fury, Filth, Flarn, and Fire Fury.
I was hoping there'd be no need for a sequel, and yet here it is.
Yeah, I know.
A lot of what Michael Wolff has written, despite his reputation, I guess, a lot of what he's written has borne out to be true, either in fact or intent. We've certainly seen that sort of behavior, and some of the things he wrote turned out to be very accurate. So maybe he's onto something here, and if it's true, then maybe it will come out. Maybe the evidence to support Wolf's claim will appear.
Yeah. Well, important still to wait and see on this. I'm taking a wait and see approach on this
one. Sure. Well, you have to with everything now, especially with a guy like Michael Wolff, but he's kind of surprised us with a fair amount of accuracy so far.
Yeah. Just a little bit of news to leave you on a panic note, Buzz. Mike Pence told a group of West Point graduates last night or yesterday, That it's a virtual certainty that they're going to see combat. He said, you will need, you will lead soldiers in combat, Pence told 980 graduate cadets. It will happen. Some of you may even be called upon to serve in this hemisphere.
Shit.
And then he said, you'd look good without those uniforms.
Oh, man. You know, what a great time for his law in Indiana to be overturned the day after him saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, people ask me from time to time. This is a nice way to go out. They ask me from time to time. Well, we don't want to end up with Pence as president. And, of course, they're right. We don't.
Yeah.
And my response to them is, I have, over the last two and a half years, established a fairly thick folder on Mike Pence that I'm keeping handy because I honestly believe his day is coming too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike Pence prefers girth over length, so I'm glad you have a thick folder for him.
Yeah. That's what he likes.
I love the slow clap after my Mike Pence joke. Buzz Burbank news and comment can be found at buzzburbank.com. Make sure you go to iTunes, please. Apple Podcasts. Sign up, subscribe. It's the best hour of news you're going to hear all week. An amazing condensation of everything that you've heard for the past week or so and delivered by a professional newsman. Yeah.
And the UFO story.
And the UFO. Shit, we forgot the... Well, we're going to have to talk about the UFOs on the post-mortem shows. You're going to have to sign up at our Patreon page, bobseskashow.com. But again, don't forget to sign up for Buzz Burbank News and Comment, buzzburbank.com.
All of that.
Yep. Yeah. Also, realmnetwork.com. And, oh, my God, sign up for all the podcasts at the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. See you next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Randy Rhodes, host of the Randy Rhodes After Hours podcast. Every week we talk about everything that matters to you, from our future as a democracy to our existence on this here planet. Find it all at sexyliberal.com on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and anywhere and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.